times where God deals with specific men in a very specific way, and in particular, covenants. So the establishment of covenants really speak volumes as to God's faithfulness, because it highlights not only his commitment, but also his faithfulness. We see it throughout his dealings with men. And so what a covenant is a promise between two people. The author Palmer Robertson, in his book, The Christ of the Covenants, puts it this way. He says, by a covenant, two people become committed to one another. In the Old Testament times, this was something that was extremely, extremely important. And it was a big deal because it implied that the person who would violate the covenant would die. So a violation of a covenant equals death in the Old Testament. So it was something that was very severe. It was something that wasn't taken lightly. It wasn't something that you would just, hey, I'm going to make a covenant with you today and let's just do it. It wasn't that. It was the complete opposite. So this is life and death situation. So right there, just by having that piece of information, we can see how committed God is as he's entering into this covenant that is so serious, so severe. And so, and the phrase to make a covenant could be translated uniformly throughout the Old Testament as early as I believe as early as the book of Proverbs and as late as the book of Jeremiah translates to cut a covenant. So that phrase to make a covenant can be translated to cut a covenant. And the reason and that word to cut refers to the inauguration of a ritual. So in order to enter a covenant, people would cut animals in between and separate them. And the parties making the covenant would cross through the cut animal. And this would be symbolic. And this would refer to the curse that they would call upon themselves would they ever violate this covenant. It happened in Genesis 15. I forget what verse. Abraham falls asleep. And in this state of sleep, he sees a burning fire and a pot passing through these cut animals that he has set before God, and God there entered into a covenant with Abraham. And so, in keeping with that, I wanted it to also talk about other covenants. In Genesis 2, Adam in Genesis 2, although the word covenant isn't in that passage, the components of a covenant are there between Adam and God. Mm-hmm. And so God commits himself to man in the sense that God created this garden in Genesis 2:8, created this garden, put man in the garden, provided for him a place to live. In Genesis 2:9, it says that he brought about trees that were good for sight and good for food, provided food. So shelter, food, and not only that, but he provided a helper, his wife, in Genesis 2:22. So, and in turn, Adam was to keep the garden, till it and keep it, and he also had to not eat of the garden. So there are these, this is what this party does, and this is what this party does, and this is a commitment. So we can see God's commitment through that. And of course, Adam did not keep with his end of the bargain. In Genesis 3, the fall happened, Satan deceived, and they ate of the fruit. They did explicitly what God told them not to do. And shortly after that, God's provision still continues. He was moved out of Eden. However, he still had food. These same ordinances still applied. He still had his helper. He still had food. He still had a place to live. God kept his end of the bargain despite Adam's fall. And it's very, very, and that speaks volume, because it's not like God said, okay, this is done. Forget it. It's done. I'm taking away the food. Give me back your helper. Give me back the land. No, those things were there. It's just the way that it was given now is different. And so in Genesis 3, where they sin and Satan enters into the picture. Sorry. So in Genesis 3, where Satan enters into the picture, although he is cursing, of course, the serpent, but Adam and Eve is very different, because within that curse, he also blessed them and gave them a way to get rid of that curse. Yeah. So Genesis 3 says that God himself, he will put that enmity between the woman and her and the serpent, and between the serpent's offspring and her offspring. And not only that, not only did he put that enmity, but he, through the offspring of the woman, delivered a deadly blow to the serpent that would eradicate sin. And this was of course fulfilled in Christ. Christ bruised the head of the serpent, and of course it wasn't without the price of him being bruised at the heel. So even within this cursing, we can see God providing a way to get rid of this sin. Mm-hmm. Again, it speaks volume as to God's faithfulness, God's commitment to man, that even as man falls and the cursing comes, that even through that cursing, God is faithful to deliver him from that. And in the same way, the covenant with Noah, the same thing, the same ordinances that were given to Adam are now given to Noah in the same way. Be fruitful and multiply. Something that again speaks volumes. He tells them, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night will not cease. This just shows the commitment, because these are things that man needs in order to live. So his commitment to man is still there, despite him just having flood the whole earth because of their wickedness. So again, God's commitment and his faithfulness to man is evident, especially against the backdrop of fallen man and how we haven't been able to keep our end of the bargain. And of course, Abraham, God had told Abraham that he would make him into a great nation, be as numerous as the stars and as the sand. Mm. And in Genesis 15, I spoke briefly about that. We see God entering into that covenant with Abraham, and it was eventually fulfilled in the birth of Isaac. And that was despite the fact that Abraham had tried to do it on himself and gave birth to Ishmael, and that kind of set off its course. So again, with the exploring of these covenants, I just want to paint this picture and show you how God is faithful despite our botching this whole thing. We haven't been able to live to this covenant that we entered in with God. No one has done it. Not Adam, not Moses, no one except for Jesus Christ. And so before I wrap up here, I want to touch on this covenant that is by far the most impressive covenant, and it's in the book of Jeremiah. If you can please turn with me to Jeremiah 31, I'd like to briefly read that. Okay, so Jeremiah 31 says, to give you guys a little more time, I hear the pages ruffling. My wife told me to be mindful of that next time. She's like, if you're going to ask someone, just be conscious and just don't rush it. So I'm thankful for my helper and my wisdom there. Jeremiah 31, he says, surely the days of the Lord are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Jesus came from the line of Judah. So again, surely the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. In that day, I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, although I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them and write in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And so that was a prophecy in the book of Isaiah that found fulfillment. And if we can turn lastly to Luke chapter 22. I just want to go over this here as it brings that prophecy into fulfillment. So Luke chapter 22, verse 19. So again, keep that covenant picture of mind with the splitting of the body of this dismembered animal. Jesus said, it says, then he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In like manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant, my blood, which is shed for you. But see, the hand of him who betrays me is with me at the table. And he was, of course, speaking of Judas. That's marvelous right there, that these covenants in the Old Testament, and then this new covenant where God says that he would write his law within our hearts. And it is through, of course, the death of Christ and through the receiving of the Holy Spirit that we can have that in us. And this is where we are today by Jesus' blood and by his broken body. And that is all I have. I'd like to close out in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this time, Lord God. I just pray, Father, that you would allow for us to, in light of all this, Father, see your faithfulness, Father, that we may hold on to the promises, Father, because you are the same God who was in the Old Testament, the same God with the impeccable track record of unwavering faithfulness, Lord God. May we see you for who you are and have proper reverence of you and a deeper and more sensible worship of you, Father. We love you. We thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen.